This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network.
This is Sean from the Gunblog Variety Cast. Unlike Bob, I was in the military, but that was a long time ago. Now what I need is a practical podcast from a practical guy. That's why I listen to Bob Main's Handgun World podcast on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi folks, I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. Episode 420, to be exact. This week I'm going to talk about we just have to accept the way it is. That's the main topic. I'll get into that a little bit later. Thanks for tuning in, folks. This is a practical show done by a practical, everyday guy like me. I'm not an industry insider. Just an everyday guy that likes to keep myself well-defended and a strong believer in the Second Amendment. Let me start off with a listener voicemail. I get a lot of voicemails. Lately, the last month or so, I've been getting some pretty good ones. If you want to call into the show and leave a comment or a question, I would certainly welcome it. A lot of you have been calling in expressing your condolences. I appreciate that very much. You know, that all means a lot to me, so thank you very much for doing that. A listener called in a question recently, a pretty interesting question, so let's listen and I'll respond.
Hi, Bob. This is Matt from South Carolina again, and I wanted to share a little experience I've had with the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield in 9mm. I have one, I'm carrying one, and I had a problem. I've put hundreds of rounds, full metal jacket through it with absolutely no trouble. I put about 100 rounds of hollow point, gold dot 124 plus P through it. And I was, I felt fairly comfortable carrying it like that. And one day I went to the range and shot it, and, the third round jammed. The gun just, I looked at it, and, what happened was the round nosedived and wouldn't get it up the feed ramp. I put the mag aside. Went home, it was the 8-round mag. The 7-round has always been flawless. I went home, I loaded up another 8-round mag, and while I was loading it, I noticed another round was nose-diving as I was feeding it. So I've never noticed this on any of the 7-round, so that's all what I carry now. I carry a reload and I carry the mag and the gun. But I don't know what the problem is. I haven't called Smith & Wesson yet, this just happened fairly recently. And I just thought, you know, maybe other people are having this problem too. But anyway, if you know what that one might be, please just mention it. If not, you know, maybe it's just a one-off. So thank you. Bye.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for the call. I shoot a Smith & Wesson Shield 9mm quite a bit. I carry it quite a bit as well. Let me ask you a question. How many rounds do you have through that gun? When you describe your problem, it sounds like it might be weak magazine springs. If those magazine springs are a little weak, then it might not be pushing the round up like it's supposed to so that the gun can chamber a round properly. Now, I have about 2,000, almost 2,000, maybe about 1,800 or 1,900 rounds through this M&P Shield that I have right now. I have not had the nosediving problem. I have not had my rounds do that. But it sure sounds to me like a weak magazine spring. So what you might want to do is order some more springs, change them out, maybe order a couple of extra magazines. I mean, you can always use extra magazines, right? Why don't you order some extra magazines, brand new magazines. Load those up and see if you have the same issue. You might not. Listening to you describe the problem sounds, I bet you there's 90% chance that it's a magazine issue. Now, it could be something with the feed ramp or with the way that the gun is feeding, but I doubt it. These shields have proven to be real reliable, but like any gun, like any piece of machinery, like any semi-automatic gun, you are going to have to do some maintenance to it, and magazine springs are an important thing. So You always need new magazines anyway, right? You always need more magazines. The more magazines you can have for any gun that you expect to carry, the better, especially if you're going to train with it. So get a brand new Shield magazine, load it up, or go to the range, load it up and shoot it, and load that magazine 3 or 4 different times and shoot it and see if you have the nosediving problem with your bullets and see if that, you know, fixes it up. Because I've got a feeling, Matt, that that's what your issue is. Now, I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, let me know. I would love to hear. Matt, would you please call back in. Call back in after you have fixed the problem. You might want to talk to Smith & Wesson, of course, too. See if they give you the same kind of answer that I gave you. I'd be interested to know. But call back in. Like to find out how this went for you. And anybody that wants to call in, the number is 210-646-1727. Okay, let's talk about an email I got recently. Here's another interesting one. Michael sent me this. He said, "Hey, Bob, I was wondering, do you carry when you are sick or not feeling good?" He says, "I came home yesterday and I was dehydrated. I took my gun and put it in the safe and rested for a while. My wife and girls wanted to go out to eat, so I was not still feeling the best, so I left my gun at home. Coming home, we ran into a situation and was not as confident as I would have been with my gun. We made it home safely, but I still wish I had my gun on my sides. What are your thoughts, your friend in Christ, Michael?" Michael, that's a great question. Yes, I do. I carry my gun even if I'm not feeling well, even if I'm feeling awful. When I was going through my cancer treatments, I couldn't carry while I was in the hospital because it was a gun-free zone and I was in my hospital room. But within minutes after I got out, I armed up and I was not feeling very well. I was not feeling very well. Recently, I fought off an upper respiratory infection. I still carried. And even when I had shingles back in February, folks, I've had a rough year and a half. I hope health-wise the next couple years goes better for me. I was carrying then, even when I had very, very painful case of shingles. Yeah, carry all the time. Unless you absolutely physically cannot carry, because like Michael's situation. Sure enough, it's whenever you leave your gun at home that you run into a quote-unquote situation, right? And as Michael said, coming home, he ran into a situation and he was not as confident as he would have been with his gun. Also, I do want to throw this in there. Yes, carrying a gun can make us feel more confident, because we know that we have a pretty powerful response if somebody wants to harm us or a loved one. I do want to say this, though. Please do not make that your first response. Try to de-escalate the situation. Try to escape the situation. Do that first. If all else fails, yes, then you've got the confidence of knowing that you got a handgun that you've been carrying all the time, right? And you can defend yourself, or you can defend your loved ones. So I just wanted to throw that in there. But yeah, Michael, carry all the time. I do. Even when I'm feeling totally like crap, I still carry. In fact, I'll give you a story. This was back in 2008, before I started the Handgun World podcast. I had shoulder surgery. I had a rotator cuff repair in my left shoulder. And I still went shooting even after several weeks, after I got my sling taken off. I still went shooting. And my left shoulder was not feeling very well. I still had a lot of pain. I had a lot of pain and very limited mobility in my shoulder. I couldn't do much with it. But I went to IDPA matches. I went to several IDPA matches like that, and I did most of my shooting one-handed at those IDPA matches. I kind of got two benefits out of it. I got to go have fun. I got to get my mind off of the injury that I was recovering from, and I got to practice shooting one-handed a lot, shooting and drawing, because that was about all I could do. I could not do much with my left hand, which for me, that's my offhand. And again, I've talked about this many times. Practice. Do you practice with your off hand? You should be a pretty good shooter with both your right or your left hand and arm. Because what if you're injured? What if you're injured like me? I'm not talking about being injured in the fight, but what if you're injured because of something that happens to you in life? Maybe like you're like me. Maybe you have some kind of a surgery in your hand or your wrist or your elbow or your arm, and that arm's out of commission. Can you shoot with the other one? Maybe you have, maybe you're not feeling very well. Maybe you've gone through some bad medical treatments or something like that. Or maybe you've got some physical limitations that don't allow you to always have a good firm grip on that pistol and always, you know, physically being able to perform like you want. You should still carry. I would recommend that you still carry. And I think what you need to do is when you're in that situation, make the best of it. Shoot the way you can. Carry the way that you can. So good email, Matt. Thanks for sending that in. All right. Next, I want to talk about maybe a change in firearms that I'm considering. I know. I said no more new guns for 2017. Well, I'm gonna change that a little bit. No more net new guns. In other words, no net gains in the amount of guns that I own. I'm wondering whether I should keep my Larry Vickers G19. I like it. I like all the really cool features of it. You know, I like the RTF2 finish on the frame because it's not too aggressive. And I do like some of the I do like the controls. I do like the magazine release button and the slide release button. But I'm just, you know, I really like what I have seen and experienced with the M&P 2.0. I had a chance to shoot the M&P 2.0 about a month and a half ago. Really, really liked it. And I know that the M&P, the full-size M&P, yes, it's bigger than a Glock 19. I have other Glock 19s. And the G19 still remains my favorite gun. Well, I have others. I have others that serve me very well that I've got modified nicely. And one of them's got an RMR on it. And those two are not going to go anywhere. But I'm just wondering if this Larry Vickers G19 is really worth me keeping around, because I really want to get an M&P 2.0. I really do. I really liked that gun. And I think that would be kind of a good gun that maybe I could use for competition, and maybe I could just use that as a full-size gun, a good home defense gun. I just really like it, and it's a great combination. I own an M&P Shield, so having an M&P 2.0 and an M&P Shield, great combination. Large and small of the same platform. I'll tell you, if I wasn't so heavily invested in Glock pistols with all the magazines and everything that I own and all the accessories and everything, if I was starting over, I would probably start over with the M&P pistols, especially today's versions of the M&P pistols. I wasn't real crazy about the original M&Ps when they first came out, but now because of the better barrel that they have now than what they used to have when they first came out, and the improved triggers and the improved grip texturing and all that on the new M&Ps, I'm pretty impressed. There's a lot of accessories that you can get for M&Ps just like you can for Glocks. And there's a lot, you know, everybody makes sights for M&Ps. Everybody makes holsters for M&Ps. You can get a lot of good M&P magazines right now, and they're not all that expensive. And, you know, I'm impressed with the platform, and the ergonomics of the Smith & Wesson M&Ps are great. I like to look at the whole total package of what a gun has to offer. You know, there are guns like, for example, Walther PPQs. I'm talking a lot about striker-fired guns right now. Walther PPQs with fantastic triggers. The Canik, or Janik, however it's pronounced. The Janik TP9 and TP9 Elite. Great triggers on those. The SIG P320, great triggers on those. But when you look at the whole package, What does the gun have to offer? The whole thing. In other words, what size does that gun come in? What other versions of that same gun are available? For example, can you buy a subcompact or a single stack version of it? Well, you can of Glocks. You can with Smith & Wessons. But there aren't any single-stack striker-fired SIGs. Are there? I don't think there's any single-stack striker-fired SIGs. Let me know if I'm wrong about that. You can with Rugers. You can buy a single-stack Ruger 9mm to kind of be a smaller alternative of your full-size SR9 or something like that. So that I look at those kinds of things. What about holster availability? What about sights and accessories availability? What about the ability to get parts? It's a little harder to get parts for the M&P pistols than it is compared to a Glock, for example, but it's not too bad. So I urge you, when you're considering a concealed carry gun, I'm a big fan, as you know, I've mentioned before, of owning two. Owning two. Now, it might be a large one and a small one of the same platform, but that's a good idea, too. For example, if you have a full-size Glock, it might be a good idea to get a Glock 43, which would be the single-stack version of your full-size. If you have a full-size M&P, get an M&P Shield. So, and of course, then there's the M&P 9 Compact out there, too. Now, the M&P 9 Compact, you don't hear much about that gun anymore, do you? You know, it seems like as soon as they came out with the Shield, that kind of squashed some of the sales of the M&P 9 Compact. I'm wondering, what's the point? The M&P 9 Compact is a 13-round gun. The Shield is a 9-round gun. The Shield is so much thinner than the double-stack counterpart, the M&P 9 Compact. And heck, if you're going to carry a gun the size of an M&P 9C, you might as well carry a Glock 19 because they're almost the same size. Hold those two guns together. Hold an M&P 9C next to a Glock 19. You'll find out that the M&P 9C is pretty darn close to the same size as a Glock 19, but fewer rounds. Anyway, I kind of got off on a little tangent there, but you see the point. I look at the whole totality of the package. So maybe I'll get an M&P 2.0. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll give my Larry Vickers Glock 19 a different home. I don't know. It's a cool gun. It's a cool gun, but I like to experiment. Hey, life is short. It's meant to be lived, right? And because I can, I may invest in an M&P 2.0 soon. Hey, when you can do things within reason, as long as you're not paying stupid tax by doing it, then do it. Have fun. Live. That's, you know, some of the challenges I've been through lately have taught me, hey, it's important to live. And it's important to live and live life to the fullest. You never know how short it might be. So let me take a quick break. I got more to talk about. Be right back. Okay, I'm back. Let me remind you that by the time you listen to this, Ben Branham and I will be in day two of teaching Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced in Illinois. So if you want to take a class with Ben and myself, we have two more coming up in the month of August. The Ohio class that we're teaching with Paul Carlson is about half full right now. So you might want to get signed up for that if you have been thinking about it. That's going to be a pretty neat event. You're going to have three instructors, Ben Branham, myself, and Paul Carlson of the Safety Solutions Academy. We're each going to take a portion of that weekend and do the teaching. So that's going to be about a 500 to 600-round class in the middle of August in Garrettsville, Ohio, Paul's home range. So you can find that at handgunworld.com. And we're going to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Thank you, Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast. He's our official host up there, and that's around the end of August. So check those out over at handgunworld.com. Once again, that's handgunworld.com. July 3rd, Ben and I are doing a drill and a skill. That's one of those little 3 or 4 hour classes, July 3rd. You can sign up on Ben's page at modernselfprotection.com for that one, modernselfprotection.com. We're just going to pick a one or two skills, and it's just going to be a 3 or 4 hour lesson, and it's only $50, and it's, you know, come on out after work if you're working then, and it's going to be like from about six to nine or so. So I guess it's going to be about a 3 hour class, 2.5 to 3 hour class, and it's going to be a lot of fun. ModernSelfProtection.com, you can sign up for that one. Okay, I was having dinner with a friend of mine recently, and we were talking about how we carry our guns. Most of you know I used to be a big proponent of appendix carry, and I still am a big proponent of appendix carry. About a year and a half to 2 years ago, when I tried outside the waistband carry, and I tried the Concealment Solutions Cobra, and most of you know Concealment Solutions, they are a sponsor of the Handgun World podcast. In full disclosure, they are my sponsor. When I started carrying outside the waist in a Cobra, I started realizing that my draw time was just as fast as appendix carry. And because the Cobra is so well designed, I can conceal extremely well, especially if I'm carrying like a Smith & Wesson Shield in a Cobra outside the waist. Man, the gun disappears, but I'm still carrying outside the waist. And it's just as fast as appendix carry. So, and it's more comfortable too, I think, than appendix carry. So I'm still a big proponent of appendix carry. I still think it's better than inside the waistband behind the hip. If you like to carry and you really want to carry inside the waistband, I would recommend, if you can make it work, appendix carry. It's not for everybody, but if you can make it work, do that. But give outside the waistband a try. Now, I want to say something. Here in Texas, you know, we're a pretty gun-friendly state, and even if the gun prints very, very slightly, who cares? Nobody here in Texas really cares. Matter of fact, most of the time, people cannot even figure out that it's a gun. If there's a little small portion of the gun that you can sort of see under my shirt, most people don't know it's a gun. You can't see the outline of the gun. I mean, it could be an iPhone. Who knows? Yeah, or it could be any kind of smartphone. I've seen some people carry some really, really large smartphones. I've seen some people carry huge smartphones in a holster, and that thing prints through their shirt more than a concealed carry pistol does. So people don't care. And I bet where you live, for the most part, especially those of you who live in relatively gun-free states, people aren't going to care. And like I said, the Cobra does such a good job of holding it real close to my body so I can conceal it. I'm finding out that outside the waistband carry seems to be very fast, very easy, and very comfortable. And outside the waist carry isn't getting talked about much these days, so I wanted to talk about it. Okay, so I meant to say gun-friendly states when I was talking about outside the waistband carry earlier. I think I said gun-free states. Not a gun-free state, a gun-friendly state. You know, most of you know my home state's Wisconsin. I'm a cheesehead. Yes, I know. I'm a Green Bay Packer fan cheesehead. And when I was growing up in Wisconsin, it was not a very gun-friendly state. Now it is a pretty gun-friendly state. Got a couple students from Wisconsin coming to our class this coming up weekend. And it's good to see that my home state has turned around and they finally figured it out, and they've gotten with the program. So primarily what I wanted to talk about, I know it's taken me a while to get to the main topic, but I want to talk about acceptance of society the way it is, and how this pertains to carrying a gun. Some people seem to have a psychological block in their head towards the fact that we live in a violent world. I touched on this a little bit last week. We live in a violent world. Would you agree? It's rough out there, and we have to accept it. You know, Ben Branham really had a good podcast couple weeks ago, I think it was, when he talked about that terrorism is going to stay with us, and there are so many people that are waiting for somebody else to do something about it, and they don't want to take responsibility for themselves. Don't you find that to be true? You probably know some people like that. They don't want to take responsibility for themselves. You are on your own. It's been said many times. You know, I think I first heard Michael Bain from Downrange Radio say this. You're on your own. In terms of your self-protection, you're on your own. Accept society the way it is. Accept that we have terrorism. Accept that we have hate. Accept that we have the violence. And always carry. Does it mean that you're always going to be able to do something about a terrorist who wants to blow up the area you're in? Not always. There might be not anything you can do about it. But recently in London, concert goers were bombed as they were leaving the concert. Can you carrying your gun do anything about that? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. What if you happen to be the person that spots the terrorist right before they're going to do what it is that they're going to do? Yeah, then maybe you can take care of the situation. Maybe you can't. Maybe it'll catch you too far by surprise and you won't be able to do anything. But what if you see somebody that's about ready to commit some kind of a hate crime, like the guy in Washington, D.C.? You might be able to see him pull out his SKS. And before he is shooting people, or shortly after the shooting starts, perhaps you can take him out because you were carrying. Oh, but wait a minute. Washington, D.C. doesn't allow it. Well, maybe we need to try the best we can. Maybe we need to try the best we can to get places, cities, and states that don't allow concealed carry. Maybe we need to work on those politicians to change that. Or move. I know it's not just that easy to move. You can't just snap your fingers and say to your spouse, hey, guess what? We're moving today. Or we're moving next week or next month. It's just not that easy. I understand that. I get that. For those of you that do live in states where it's relatively easy to get a permit and carry, please carry your gun, folks. Come on. Please. Carry your gun.
This is Rob Morse of the Self-Defense Gun Stories podcast. I'm reminding you that this podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out the other podcasts at selfdefenseradio.net.
It's just so amazing how many people that I hear that have a concealed carry license and they don't carry their gun. And if you live in a state where you don't even need a license to carry a gun, when you live in a state that offers constitutional carry, you have no excuse. But I want to say this: violence seems to pervade our culture in America today, and Americans not only engage in violence. Have you ever noticed they seem to be entertained by it? It's a shame, but violent acts seemed to get way more attention in social media and even on the news, way more attention. And it's almost like some Americans, maybe not you listening to this podcast, but it almost seems like so many Americans are just sort of entertained by violence. It's a sad situation. You know, someone gets killed in America more than the sun rises. And let me go ahead and correct Governor Terry McAuliffe in Virginia. It's about 87 times a day someone gets shot in America. Going to war in Afghanistan is less dangerous than living in Chicago. Oh, by the way, all those gun control laws in Chicago. They're working so well, aren't they? You know, think about it. You know, in major cities, Americans just kind of look out their window. And now we got baseball. Baseball, which is used to be America's national pastime. It used to be very benign, right? Now baseball practices, especially if it's people that are in a charity baseball game, they're politicians. They're not even safe anymore. Violent films. How many violent movies are there out there? Now, don't send me hate mail saying, Bob, violent movies don't cause these people to do this. I really believe that violent movies and violent video games and things like that, where it's true violence that's being pervaded out there, I really think that it kind of desensitizes people to violence. I'm not saying it's the direct cause, but it's desensitizing people to killing, and it's devaluing life. That's just kind of my personal opinion. And regardless of what is really driving people, whether you agree with what I just said or not, or if there's a different reason, if it's just pure evil on earth, which I believe exists, if that's what's driving people to be violent, folks, let's just accept it. That's just the way it is. This is not the same America of 30 years ago. It's not the same America of 50 years ago. To my international listeners, your countries are probably not the same as they were 40 or 50 years ago. We have to just accept it. And we got to be vigilant. We have to be prepared. We have to understand that we have absolutely no idea when something like this could happen to us. And we have to be ready, and we have to be trained to be able to respond to it. And we've learned that outlawing products and services that help people stay defended, that doesn't work. We can't change a culture by changing laws. We can't change a flawed culture. And I really believe that's what we have. I hate to say this, but we have a flawed culture. And no law that's ever been passed in history has ever eliminated violent practices. And so, you know, all these people that are calling for, we need laws, we need gun laws, we need this law, that law, and the other thing, you know, and that's gonna fix everything. The truth of the matter is that it's just simply not going to work. A society that's based on law is actually a lawless society. And we're not, this is not a violent culture that we have in America because of guns. It's a violent culture because of the attitudes of Americans. That's what I'm really trying to say. It's because of the attitude and the values, or the lack of values, and the horrific attitudes of many Americans. And we're seeing it manifest itself, aren't we? There's a good article I want you to read, and I'm going to link to it in the show notes, because it's kind of where I got a lot of my information, not just for this episode, but things I've been thinking about lately. And I've put some of my ideas and some of my thoughts out on Facebook lately. And if you follow me on Facebook, by the way, you can find me at Handgun World Podcast on Facebook. That's kind of where we're at. And we have to just deal with it. And so, I think I've made my point. This is a relatively short episode. Many thanks to all of you who have been supporting me. I really appreciate that. Thank you for all the emails. Thank you for all the voicemails and everything. So many of you have been supporting me and encouraging me, and it really, really, really means a lot. And I don't take any of them lightly. Keep them coming, and I'm sorry if I can't respond to every single one. But it's really heartwarming to know that you folks have my back. And I appreciate that. Also, many thanks to a lot of you who have been making purchases on my Amazon store. If you want to support, you notice that I don't have a whole lot of sponsors, only one sponsor. And if you want to support this podcast to help keep me going, keep me doing this, when you make your Amazon purchases, a lot of you already do this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You don't have to spend any extra money. Just use my Amazon store link. Just go to handgunworld.com and go to the Amazon store page first. Just do those couple of clicks first on your computer or on your phone. And then log into your Amazon account and make your purchases or your Amazon Prime or whatever. That helps me out. You don't have to spend any extra money. And Ben Branham and I are going to be putting up some more videos up on the Shooters Club again pretty soon. So thank you to all of you who are members for only $8 a month or $75 a year. Videos will not replace the training, but you know what they will do? They'll let you know what you might want to work on, and they may even give you some ideas that you've never thought of that you think, hey, I need to go to the range and practice this. I need to see how good am I. How good am I at this technique that Bob and Ben are talking about on the video? And if you find you're good at it, great. And if you find you're not, hey, there's an area that you need to work on. We can't think of everything, and hopefully Ben and I have thought of a lot of it. And if you got some suggestions for us, let us know. But you can check that out. If you go to handgunworld.com and click the Shooters Club page, you'll also be able to get some good instructions on how to join the Shooters Club for only $8 a month or $75 a year. Thanks for listening, folks. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Don't let either one of them happen to you. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.